Welcome to the Grace for This City podcast. We're helping you turn your city upside down. Hey, I'm your host, Justin Goff. Stay tuned. We got a great show for you today. All right. And hey, thank you for tuning into the podcast today. You are listening to Grace for This City podcast. Guess what we're doing? We're helping you turn your city upside down. We're throwing at you scriptural strategies and motivation to help you turn your city upside down. Listen, friend, we want to hear from you. When you're challenged, encouraged, strengthened, motivated, hallelujah, anything, all the above, reach out to us. We want to celebrate with you and what God is doing in your life. Send us an email at hello@gracecitychurch.tv. That's hello, H-E-L-L-O, @gracecitychurch.tv. Or give us a call, 870-741-9099. Leave a message. We'll get right back with you. We'd love to hear what God is doing in your life. Turning your cities upside down. By the way, what that really means is we are making the wrongs right. That's the power and the force of righteousness that you walk in. It's the right way of doing and being, advancing the kingdom, and wherever the enemy has destroyed things, flip things upside down, guess what you're doing? You are going to make the wrongs right.
Right side up.
Oh, it's the voice from heaven. Who is that?
Yes.
Hey, wow, I'm joined in the studio.
I didn't know God sounded like me.
Yeah, he sounds like Bob. We're joined in the studio, of course, today with Bob and Christina. Hey, guys.
Good
how are
morning,
you doing?
Everyone.
Hey, everybody.
Awesome to have you guys on the podcast today. And
it's good to be here.
Yeah, my co-hosts. And, of course, they make the show amazing, right? Let's give them a hand. Here we go. Oh, yeah. Thank you so much.
We don't have canned hand claps, huh?
I didn't get to it in time here. So, you know, we'll have to do. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Okay, here we go. Bob and Christina. Whoa.
That's more cheers than they got in the baseball fields this summer. Or the football.
There we go. Oh, man, Bob's on the roll. Okay. Hallelujah. Boy, we're having a fun time in the studio. By the way, if you want to see all these antics and Bob's beard, tune in to... Sorry, that's a before the podcast joke. Okay. But if you want to see some of the behind the scenes of the podcast, of course, you're listening to it right now, either on Podbean, you probably downloaded the app, or Spotify, if that's your game, or Google Podcasts. You can download the app, get all the podcasts, or iTunes. I don't know what your jam is, but you're probably listening to us right now, but you can watch us on our Grace for This City podcast Facebook page or Grace for This City podcast YouTube channel. So tune in, check it out, and you can watch us on there. They can see you guys.
Oh.
Sometimes they'd like to see us.
Yeah. So anyways, hey, we got a great show for you today, friend, and we're so glad that you're tuning in today. Our prayer is that you are being encouraged in where God has placed you. And several podcasts ago, I quoted from Titus, and I really like this passage of scripture, and I remind myself of this often. And here Paul, he's writing Titus, and he said, you know what, here's the reason why you were left in Crete. And sometimes maybe you feel like that's literally what has happened. You've been left somewhere and forgotten. Listen, you're not forgotten, friend. You're an ambassador. You are tasked with advancing the kingdom. And Paul wrote to Titus and he said, look, here's why you were positioned, placed, called, ordained, appointed in Crete. And that's to set in order the things that were lacking. And I want to encourage you, friend, that's what God wants to do through you. He wants to use you to right wrongs. Wherever things are twisted by sin and corruption, deception, God wants to use you, flow through you, move through you, and make those right things wrong. This is turning the city upside down. That's our whole goal behind the podcast today. And so we got a great show for you, and so we're going to jump right into this. Father, we thank you. I'm going to pray. Father, we thank you right now. We thank you for your leading and your guidance today. And Father, all the people that are listening and watching right now, Lord, I pray that they would be strengthened and encouraged. Father, that that might, that strength, that fortitude that we get by the Holy Ghost, Father, I pray that in our spirits we would be strengthened with that might in the name of Jesus, and we would be encouraged to go forth no matter what resistance or obstacles are ahead of us. We would go forth in power in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
And we give you praise. Hallelujah. All right, guys, let's get into this. Of course, we are in a series now. I believe today is part 5 of The Believer's Authority. And I want to read to you a scripture, Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And I'm going to read it to you out of the Amplified Classic. I like the Classic Edition. That's the one that I use primarily. I use the Amplified a lot. And this is what it says. And Jesus summoned to him his 12 disciples and gave them. Listen, friend, he's talking about you here. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you are a disciple of Jesus, and he gave them power and authority over unclean spirits to drive them out and to cure, oh, listen to this, all kinds of disease, all kinds of weakness, and all kinds of infirmity. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He has given to us authority and power. Now, I believe, guys, and guy and gal, last week, wasn't the title of our podcast, You Deal With It, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's given you authority. You are going to have to do something about it. Now, I made this statement. Listen very, very closely, friend. Jesus is in charge, but he's not in control. Jesus is the head of the body, but you as the body have to respond to the revelation of his will, and then you have to act in accordance with his word and his will. So God is not in control of everything. He's in charge, but he's not in control. And he's equipped you to be able to move in accordance with his will and his word. I think we shared the story of Kenneth Hagin, and he was in a conversation with Jesus. Jesus appeared to Kenneth Hagin, and during this conversation, this little demon imp, monkey-looking nastiness, okay? Little imp demon thing got in between Kenneth Hagin and Jesus and started making all this racket and all this noise to the point to where he could see Jesus talking, but he couldn't hear what Jesus was saying because this little demon imp was making such a racket. Somebody, something.
Trying to blend words.
Hallelujah. Yeah. And so this goes on for a moment, right? And he's thinking to himself, when is Jesus going to deal with this? Finally, after some process of time, he thinks to himself, okay, I'm going to have to do something here. And so he commands that little imp to stop in the name of Jesus and get out of there. Instantly, the thing just fell to the floor, whimpering, and then scattered off. Now he's back. He's face to face with Jesus now. There's no longer this distraction. And Jesus tells him that if he, Kenneth Hagin, didn't deal or do something to stop that little demon imp from interfering, that Jesus couldn't have done anything about it. Stunned, Kenneth Hagin says, wait a second, Jesus, you mean you wouldn't have done anything about it? Jesus said, no, I couldn't have done anything about it. Now listen, friend, there are 1,000,001 biblical paradigms, and only one is right. And I'm telling you today that even though Jesus has all power and all authority, listen, he's not violating spiritual laws, and he's just not doing things independently or outside of his body. He's chosen to work together, the head with the body. And so while the head is in charge, the head is not necessarily in control. The body must work together, must yield in a cohesion, working together. Jesus told Kenneth Hagin. Of course, we don't take just Kenneth Hagin's word for it. We get into the scriptures and we find this out. Of course, he asked Jesus. Kenneth Hagin said, give me some scriptures. Jesus, I'll give you four. He gave him scriptures to back up what he told him. But the point that I want to make is here is you're going to have to deal with, you are going to have to deal with the forces that you are encountering. It's not that Jesus won't, Jesus can't. It's the law. It's the way it's been designed. This is why Jesus told his disciples here, and he's telling you and me today, I am giving you power and authority to deal with these unclean spirits. If you choose not to deal with them, they're not going to be dealt with. Now listen, guys. This is an important, we could say revelation, but this is a very important point. If you've got issues going on in your city, you're not just going to be able to sit back, be the couch potato that you dream of, and expect things to just work out according to his will. If you, as an ambassador, do not take your place, do not walk in the authority and the power which he's given you, the believer's authority, things are going to be, there's going to be havoc. There's going to be chaos. There's going to have to be a believer somewhere rise up, take their place, quit being, you know, mamby-pamby, quit being, you know, a pity party on wheels wherever you go. Oh, woe is you. Stand up to the opposition. Stand up to the resistance. Use your authority in the name of Jesus. Listen, you were created to reign and rule, not be held in bondage by every, you know, little resistance, trapped in fear, intimidated. You got to understand, like in that situation with Kenneth Hagin, that was just like a little monkey imp looking thingy. I didn't see it, so I don't know exactly. Brother Hagin said it was like this little monkeyish looking wimpy demon thingy. But don't you know, remember that scripture says even just the little foxes can spoil the vineyards. What do you want? What do you want? You want 25-foot demons? Listen, you got to understand that it doesn't have to be a big demon. It can be a little demon that operates in fear, that's got you cowering in a corner. You're so used to being told what to do and what not to do by these evil influences. You got to realize you've got authority. Greater is he, come on, that is in you, than he that is in the world. Take your place, friend. Rise up. Deal with it, friend. Take your place in the army of the Lord, and let's advance the kingdom in the name of Jesus. There are diseases that need to be cured. There are spirits that need to be driven out. There is weakness and infirmity that has trapped and bound people, and they need you. Your city needs you to do what? Take your place and use your authority.
You know, when we're talking about authority, there's some people are going to say, well, Jesus, when he gave that authority to the disciples, he didn't give it to us. It was just to them. It was for that time and for that moment. And that's not true. If you look in the scriptures, how many parables did Jesus share where a master had a farm, a vineyard, or something, and he goes off to a distant land and he leaves people in charge? Those people had authority.
Yep.
He gave talents. In the story of the talents, he gave talents to different people according to their abilities. He left town. They had authority on what to do with those talents and how to manipulate it, how to expand it. Jesus left, went to heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father, and he left us here. He gave us authority to do what needs to be done in this earth, in this day. Hey, you know, since we're dealing with the believer's authority and we're pulling it from Kenneth Hagin's book, you know, one of the things that he says, and I'll say it's on page 43, This confuses them because they have a different book than I do. But it says, we Christians must learn that we are seated with Christ. We must learn to be exalted to the place where God wants us. When he left, when we get born again, I should say, we get exalted with Christ. We got to understand what belongs to us. We will enjoy the victory Christ has for us. I want to go to Colossians. Colossians chapter 2 and in verse 13. And it says, and you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses. Now, if you'll just underline that in your Bible. Now, this, he's taken this out of the King James, and it says, hath he quickened together with him. Well, that word quicken means to be made alive. And I went and looked it up. I wanted to see what this was in other translations. And I want to say, I just printed off part of them, but I want to say I probably have 30 other translations here, and every single one translates it, made us alive with Christ, made us alive together. Let's see, where else? Made us alive together with Christ, has quickened us together with Christ, has brought us to life with Christ. We have a relationship with him that when he was raised up, we were raised up, and he gave us authority to do what needs to be done on this earth.
Hallelujah.
Is that where you want me to talk about this?
Oh, I thought that's, you know,
this section,
the leading of the Spirit, not of
Bible. Yes. It talks about the keys of authority.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The Bible says Satan had the power of death, but Jesus conquered him. Jesus says in Revelation 1:18, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Jesus took the keys away from the devil. Glory to God. I should be more excited about that. Glory to God.
Yes. Glory to God. We've got the keys.
Yes. Keys belong to the authorized one. Those are the keys of authority.
That's good.
It is.
You know, you got to realize that mom and dad raised you to go out into the world and to do what your mom and dad did. You're not going to have them with you all the time to tell you what to do and how to do it. And that's what we raise our kids to do. That's what Jesus raised us to do. And when we moved out with Christ. We moved out with that authority. That we've got the keys to the house.
Exactly. The parables that you referenced there, Bob. You know, two different places Jesus said, "Do business, occupy till I come."
Yeah.
So we've been given delegated stewardship, meaning this, you know, I don't want to completely go in a different direction here from, you know, where we're headed, but what is stewardship? Let me just say this really quick. Stewardship. Okay, so we've got in the parables of Jesus this the parable of how the kingdom operates, that there's the master, okay, which is Jesus. But yet he's gone away. Of course, he's returning, and we'll be united as one. But in the meantime, we've been delegated. We've been given stewardship over the master's operations. He said, I've given you power, authority. Okay, stewardship is not doing with or maintaining or functioning with the property of someone else as you would. Stewardship is handling the property as the master would. So if the master has given you money to steward, you're not spending it as you would spend it as he would. Poor stewardship is doing something with someone else's material or property as you desire. Proper stewardship would be having an ear to hear, eyes to see, a mind to comprehend, a heart to operate as the master himself would operate. So when Jesus has given us power and authority, and he's given us stewardship over his operations here in the earth, we are to act as he would act. We're not to do what we think should be done. This isn't, you know, this has been delegated. We are under authority. We are a body. We are not the head. We take our impulse or our command or our instructions from the head. And so proper stewardship would be to be doing business, occupying till the master returns. But how would that business or occupancy look like? It would look like the master himself. Get that, friend. Understand that right there. You've been given power and authority not to wield as you think fitting, but to wield it as he would wield it, or as he would use it or function in it. And this is why we look at the ministry of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We look at the ministry of Jesus, and he said, be imitators. Be like a little child and imitate me. What you see me do, this is what you're going to do in my absence. Of course, he's present with us by his spirit, but you understand what I'm saying. And the parable is that the master is returning. But, you know, via his spirit, he's still communicating with us. But while in the master's absence, he said, be imitators of me. How would you operate? You would and are going to operate like Jesus. How would he respond to forces of sickness, disease, oppression, destruction, darkness, unclean spirits? Get your cues from the master, from the head himself, and then in like manner, that's how you would operate. And then he's backed that by saying, I've given you the authority and the power, or the keys, to be able to operate just like this in my absence. Listen, the master's given you the key to the house. That key will open the door, okay? That key is what has authorized you to interact with all that belongs to the master. So understand that you have been, by way of being born again, this is what we're talking about, Colossians, you are now raised with Christ. So you've been made righteous, you've been authorized, you have been restored, born again, okay? Not just restored, you are completely born again. Now your soul and your body, they're still in a renewing process. Your soul is, your body just has to be made to submit, the flesh part, portion of you. But what I'm talking about is your spirit man's been born again. Now you are capable. You are a being capable of walking in that kind of authority that Jesus walked in. You are a being now, by way of being born again. You are now able to handle the keys. Capable. Hallelujah. So what would Jesus do? WWJD, that's what you're going to do in this authority and power. And you're going to, and you are going to stand right in the situation. You're going to look unclean spirits in the eye. You're going to look disease in the eye. You're not going to cower to disease, friend. You're not going to cower to unclean spirits. You're not going to cower to infirmity or weaknesses, but you're going to look at these right in the eye. And by way of the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, you are going to command the will of the Father. Why? Because you have been given stewardship of the master's property.
And we're not going to cower to death either.
No.
Because he gave us those keys over those things.
Over those things.
You know, he's our example. Jesus is our example. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, it says, God, for whom through whom everything was made, chose to bring many children to glory. God had a plan for many children, so he sent Jesus. Jesus came in the flesh. He is our example of what we are to do in the flesh. Mm-hmm. You know, he goes on and it says, and it was only right that he should make Jesus, through his suffering, a perfect leader fit to bring them into their salvation. We follow Jesus into salvation, and then we follow through with everything else that he did. If he laid hands on the sick, we lay hands on the sick. If he raised the dead, we raise the dead. We follow him. He's our example.
Yeah. And, you know, so we have like the historical example, the historical record, the scriptures. But then you have the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. You have real-time updates from the head himself, Jesus Christ, by way of the Holy Ghost. You, me, him, we're one. We have his spirit. We have the Zoe life. We have this DNA. We're born of the Word. And so we're getting real time. Do this, do that. Go here, go there. Say this, say that. Minister this, minister that. Lay hands on him. Walk up to him. Minister this, say this, prophesy that. Real time. Because we're in relationship with him. Literally, physically, Jesus is seated, but we're seated with him because we're one with him. And we're there with him, seated in our heavenly place of operation, and yet we're here as the body, members of that body, enforcing, advancing the will of the Father, of the heavenlies, of Jesus in the earth. Hallelujah. Well, I'm getting excited.
Yeah.
Thank Christina. You, Jesus.
The Lord had just highlighted this one section, and I'm hoping it fits where you guys are at. The scripture, James 4:7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. The understood subject of the sentence is you. The believer has to have authority over the devil, or the Bible wouldn't tell him to do something about the devil. This scripture doesn't say that the devil will flee from Jesus. It says he'll flee from you. Similarly, you don't pray that Jesus will lay hands on the sick. You do it. Notice, too, the hands are not in the head. The hands are in the body. They shall lay, They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. When you lay hands on the sick, you're exercising authority over the devil. And this is really what he highlighted. That authority is yours whether you feel like you've got it or not. Authority has nothing to do with feelings, but you must exercise it. And kind of what I was thinking, like, I work with kids a lot. And when you get put in charge of kids, they can smell fear. They can smell your uncertainty. And so you really got to walk in. Not a jerk, but you got to walk in and just let them know that you're in charge. And it's... that's the way it is with the enemy. You know what I mean? You just can't play games with him. You just can't lay down and take it and then finally jump up. You got to walk in and be like, hey, man, I'm in charge here.
That's right.
This is my area, and you're going to get out, and this atmosphere is going to be peaceful. Got my lady swipe on.
Boom. Why? Because you have to deal with it.
Yes.
Now, Jesus ultimately won the victory. We are enforcers of that victory. We're not going around trying to win the victory. But these obstacles and resistance that we face prove the scriptures that we are more than overcomers. If you will stand up to it, get rid of that fear, and enforce the will of the heavens, of the Father, in that situation. I love that, Christina, what you said there in James. It doesn't say that the devil will flee from Jesus. It says you resist him and he will flee from you.
Yes. Yes. Well, and Brother Hagin also, one of the quotes, I also found that heaven will back us up on what we refuse and what we allow. And that the reference to that scripture, that'd be that one, whatever you bind on earth, you bind in heaven, whatever you loose, heaven will back you up in your decreeing. Because you're going with what the Word says. That's God's will, right?
Yep.
And heaven will back you up in that, because that's, you have the authority.
You know, I believe there's some people out there that are listening or watching, and they're going, now, this is your fifth episode of this. You know, why do you keep repeating it? And we were talking about this before the program. Yeah. And it was a statement that you had made that Billy Brim, mm-hmm. Dr. Billy Brim had said. And she said, I just have to keep doing this because they just don't get it yet.
You're not getting it yet.
Yeah. And we're not calling anyone stupid or ignorant, mm-hmm. but... when do you know that you've got it? When do you know that you understand your authority? When you use it.
Yeah.
When you step up and say, no more. We're not taking any more guff off of you, Satan. We're not taking any more of this sickness off of you. We're not taking any more of this bondage off of you. We're not taking anything off of you. And we step up and we come who we're supposed to be in Christ.
So what's the truth here, folks, is while you may understand this and you may be walking in it, but some of this is progressional in this sense. It's all finished in Christ, but I mean, your understanding of it and your confidence in it and your personal operation in it is progressive. And kind of the more you do it, the more it's going to grow and expand in you. The more you use it, the stronger it's going to become in you. But the vast majority of the body of Christ, it is obvious. Dude, and I am like, dude, I am a pro-body of Christ person. Pro-church, man. I'm all about the church. All this garbage about anti-church, that's exactly what it is. That's an anti-Christ argument. And anyways, that's another podcast. But we're pro-church. We're pro-body of Christ. But listen, the vast majority of the body of Christ is not, and I repeat, N-O-T, not walking in their authority. We can see it by what's going on inside of the church and inside homes and inside marriages and inside families and what's going on with the children. Witchcraft is rampant.
Strife.
Yeah. You've got, that's proof right there. So look, this is not a Debbie Downer, but listen, we're here to encourage you and to motivate you. Rise up and take your place. There is too much being lost. We're not making the advancements that we need to make, because in order to advance forward, listen, when Jesus said, I'll build my church, the gates of hell will not prevail, what was he talking about? The gates of hell is a defense. It's not offense. When he said the gates of hell, meaning the church was going to advance, the kingdom of God was going to advance, and the enemy's defenses would not hold up to the force of the kingdom's offensive movements. Then he talked about binding the strong man and plundering his house. In order to do that, you've got to know that you're stronger than the quote strong man. There has to be a higher, more powerful force overcome the strong man. Somebody's got to be stronger in the scenario. And in Christ Jesus, all authority has been given unto you. You're seated above all these principalities, powers, mights, and dominions. But we're not seeing. Now, the Lord's going to do it somehow. I mean, we have the end of the story. So I don't know how he's doing it. I pray that he's doing it partially through this podcast.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That the word of the Lord is going forth and people are saying, oh, I get it. I got it. Oh, I hear it. I hear it. I hear it. I hear it. I see it. I see it. Mm-hmm. I own it. I am it. That's what I pray. And if you've got it, then you need to encourage someone else to get it. You know, let's pay it forward, as it were, right? Help somebody else. Rise up. Get the materials. Get them a book. Buy them a book. Buy them this book, The Believer's Authority by Kenneth E. Hagin. You need to buy this book. Buy a couple. Give them to your friends. The Authority of the Believer by John A. McMillan. We've got access to Dr. Billy Brehm's books, The Believer's Authority and How to Use It. Get them some resources, some materials. Cut them out pages out of the Bible and hand it to them. Make a collage from the authority scriptures. Do whatever you got to do. Pay it forward. But the body of Christ, we are called to be advancers. We are the offense. We're not hiding under the pews saying, oh God, help us, protect us. Keep us safe as we hide. Yes, it's a dark, crazy world out there, but guess what Jesus said? You are the light.
Mm-hmm. You know, I read something along this lines, and it you know, it's not from Kenneth Hagin's book, but is from a teaching of Kenneth Copeland, and he says God's power is in his word. He is upholding all things by the word of his power. That's Hebrews 1:3.
Love that verse.
You need to learn to minister and walk from a point of authority. In his earthly ministry, Jesus said such things as, be thou made whole. He said, take up your bed and walk. Then to a lame man, Peter said in Acts 3:6, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He too ministered and spoke from a point of authority. He came to earth as a man for one reason, to recapture the authority that Satan had stolen through Adam's disobedience in the garden. It's time for you as a believer to begin to act that way. You have obtained an inheritance, and in that inheritance, you have been given all authority. The God of the universe lives inside you. He lives and walks in you. Become God inside-minded, and you will begin to walk in this point of authority. Keep right on building yourself up in your inheritance. You live in a world that is full of evil influences. Satan wants to see to it that you forget the reality of being born again. He wants to see to it that you never realize your place of authority in Christ Jesus, because if you do, that power you walk in makes you absolutely dangerous to him. He has no defense against you when you walk in the power of God's word. When you see in the word that you are in Christ Jesus, that you are in him, then confess it with all your heart. Then you will be strong, standing in a point of authority and operating in the inheritance in him. As you do this, the power of God will always be available to work on your behalf. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Real quick, as we draw the podcast to the close, Ephesians 6. And in verse 10, he says, "Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Now, I'm going to read you something from this book by John A. McMillan called The Authority of the Believer. I'm going to hold it up here. So if you're watching us on YouTube or Facebook, you can see it. This book is an older book, and it was out of print for several years. Dr. Billy Brim bought the rights. They've reprinted it now, so you have access to this book, and I would really encourage you to get a hold of this book. But listen to what John A. McMillan says. He says this, that the emphasis in chapter 6 is laid on victory. Note the following paraphrase, which brings out the full force of verse 13. Let me read verse 13. "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Of course, that means being immovable, unshakable. Okay, McMillan says this. Note the paraphrase, which brings out the full force of verse 13. "Take up with you to the battle the whole armor of God." Listen to this paraphrase. "That you may be able to successfully withstand in the evil day, and having overthrown all foes, to remain unshaken." Listen, he says, there is no suggestion of defeat. Secure within his armor, the believer may disregard the enemy and give his entire attention to the exercise of the ministry to which he has been called.
That's good.
Guys, the enemy has been defeated.
Yes.
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 He has been defeated. Now put on your armor, folks, and disregard him. He makes a lot of noise, and there's a lot of noise right now. The Bible says he goes around like a roaring lion. He can make a lot of noise, but disregard him. And if you do have encounters, you're safe and secure in your armor and in the power of God's might.
Amen.
Speak the word. Move forward. Don't flinch. Keep going forward. In the name of Jesus. Christina, you got any closing remarks?
I was just going to say, I wish I had a hold of this when my kids were younger. I mean, I feel like a lot of us have just got a hold of this in the last couple of years, really getting
sure,
into it.
Right.
And my kids are all out of the house now, so I feel like I got to go back, call them over, come over and see me, because I need to talk to you about something. You know, they need to be equipped. I don't want them out there in trouble.
Right.
You know what I mean? I want them equipped. And I'm not saying we never taught them the word, but you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like,
right.
Just helping them to understand this. You don't have to put up with that. Take your authority, take your seat, and tell the enemy what's going to happen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Bob, you got any closing thoughts?
Well, the one thought I have is the authority that recently we, my family, have taken over some health issues. Next week, a week from today, we're going to have healing school. You can tune into that at gracecitychurch.tv. You can catch it on Facebook Live.
Yep.
And we're going to do healing school, and we're going to present the testimony.
Amen.
Of what we have and the healing that's taken Hallelujah. Place in my family.
Yeah.
We took authority.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, I'm excited.
Yeah. I am too.
That'll be a great healing school. Check that out. Grace City Church Facebook page. Look us up, gracecitychurch.tv. Get the details for that healing school. You won't want to miss it. Listen, friend, I hope you were encouraged today. Last week we told you, you deal with it. This week, we're encouraging you to step up into that place. Be secure in the armor and in the power of his might, in that delegated authority. Steward the authority and the power well. Do what the master would do. You're his delegate, my friend. And this is a crazy world out there, but listen, you're prepared for it. You were born for such a time as this. Let us know, so we can celebrate with you the victories. Hallelujah. And you know what? There's no little victories. Any forward movement in the kingdom is worth celebrating. So send us an email, hello@gracecitychurch.tv. Call us, 870-741-9099. Let us celebrate with you. Listen, get a hold of some of these materials, these books. If you just can't absolutely find them anywhere, call us. Maybe we can help you get you some things to help you along. We love you, my friend. We're helping you turn your city upside down. Praise the Lord, and you're doing a fine job. Well, that's all for this week. Tune in next Thursday, right here, Grace for This City podcast. Be blessed, my friends.